with Renault, official car partner of the GAA, taking the passion of a nation to a whole new gear.
Today's show is brought to you by Renault, official car partner of the GAA. With a proud tradition in Ireland, Renault are committed to supporting those who give their everything to the game, both on and off the field. And after another hard-fought road to Croker, they understand as well as yourselves how important it is to enjoy the journey. That passion for what drives you extends to the time you spend on the road. With that in mind, head to Renault.ie/GAA for access to special motoring offers exclusive to GAA members.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on,
Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Okay, welcome again, everybody, to another Irish Examiner GAA podcast brought to you in association with Renault Ireland. Today I'm joined in studio by a couple of very special guests, Oisin McConville of Armagh and Cross McGlynn fame. Ray Cosgrove is going to be joining us very shortly to give us the view from the blue side. And Declan O'Sullivan, all the way from Kerry, is up to tell us exactly how he thinks Sunday's final is going to go. And before we get into the meteor stuff, we also have a pair of Hogan Stand tickets up for grabs to see Kerry and Dublin play in next Sunday's All-Ireland Football Final in Croke Park. To win, all you have to do is go to the Examiner Sport Facebook page and like the competition post. And again, let us know who you're going to bring on the big day if you're the one to pick up the lucky tickets. I was only thinking last night, Declan, when I knew you were coming on, I was thinking, Oisin, you know that I started Declan's football career. we were talking about outside about how my golf, like we started golf and Gaelic football at the same time, and my golf has continued to rise and become a little bit better while my football stayed the same. But his football got an awful lot better, whereas his golf actually plummeted. So there might be some kind of a parallel. But I was just thinking, lads, about the value of experience, like in Dublin, obviously having won four of these All-Irelands in the last 4 years, and the bank of kind of experience that they've built up over that time, and then you look at Kerry and the inexperience that they have, I suppose, coming into it, and just the value of kind of routines in this week or the week leading up to big games. Like, what did you find kind of useful in this kind of time, Dec?
Yeah, I think that's a huge factor this week. I think Kerry. They lean an awful lot on the experienced players. Even within the management team, there isn't a huge experience in preparing for an All-Ireland final from the management's point of view. So Donny Buckley, maybe from that regard, would be very important. But the likes of David Moran, Paul Gainey, these fellas, the Tuesday night you come in after semi-final is really where you want to set the tone here. And you have to go to different levels. You need to jump 2-3 levels in training from a semi-final to a final. And, players, especially in an experienced group, they have to realise they can't just be happy to be there and be involved in the build-up. They have to make an impact in training. They have to push guys. It's always well known that 3 or 4 weeks before a final, fellas can lose form, and fellas have to be prepared to put their hands up. So from Kerry's point of view, that's probably a worry, because they need to find a big improvement even from the semi-final, and you'll only find that in the training ground. So Peter Keane, Tommy Griffin, Morris Fitzgerald, those fellas, that'll be a big ask for them to get the team really primed and ready to go, because obviously Dublin are on autopilot. They know exactly what it's like. Mike, we were involved in a group that played in 8 or 9 finals, and by the end of it is autopilot, and you know that Tuesday night there's a look in a fella's eye, and there's unspoken words, but you have to go to a different level. So that's what I'm hoping, that in the Kerry squad, that realisation is there that they have to push on and get to a new level for the final.
And in terms of that, Oisin, just that idea of, that story about, was it Dara or somebody had the depressed day, they came in, they were like, okay, let's just put me down for what I said last year. And it was that sense of familiarity that everybody knew exactly what boxes to be ticked, because you were there before, whereas it is a brand new experience for most of these Kerry guys.
Yeah, and it depends how you deal with that. Some people, find it very claustrophobic. I know we played Tyrone in 2003, and I found it a completely different experience than the year before. I just found it, as I say, very claustrophobic. It was front page news in the north, and it was back page news, and it was silly. There was a lot of silly stuff going on, and there was a real edge to it. And
because it was so parochial,
it was so close. We were literally all these guys going to school together. Collie Holmes played in the middle of the field. I was groom's man for him, and it was just. Right. didn't know whether to talk to each other or not talk to each other. Or, do you know what I mean? And, you know, I just found that very claustrophobic. The first year was fresh to us. And I think genuinely, before we played Kerry, we sort of found a place where we sort of said, listen, this is going to happen. People are going to lose their minds. And let's just embrace it, you know, as much as we can and try and focus. But there was a point that I wasn't even going to mention, but Declan's 100% right. Any of the times that I felt from going from semi-final to final, and, you know, I've only a couple of experiences from going in to an All-Ireland final at county level, but also a couple, I suppose, at club level. And the best point is the Tuesday night after you play the semi-final, because you know when you go out on the Tuesday night, right, you know, who's happy with us being where we're at, and who wants to push it on another step. And you get a real sense of where you're at on that Tuesday night, and if it's not right, it has to be right for the next night. So, but as far as the media furore and the different things you got, it's probably slightly different now in that it's gone out of the way. I mean, I remember doing interviews even in 2002, meeting journalists and sitting down and doing two-hour interviews in hotels and stuff, because that's just the way it was, and that's what you did, and there was that bit of more access. And probably, to be honest, even by the time 2003 came, that had sort of changed a little bit. And you know, obviously we're talking 16 years ago, it has changed dramatically since that. I mean, where would you get a sit-down interview with a lad anymore? Wouldn't happen, and if it does happen, it's the usual sound bites that, you know, that you, so there's nothing really original to it. So the media and the things, I don't think really perturbs lads anymore, because they know they are protected. Most of them know what they're going to say before they say it, only maybe in a slightly different way. So that's the thing. And another thing is to give guys an idea of the day, you know, being out at 10 or 5 to 3, you know, which is 20 minutes, maybe 15, 20 minutes, you know, longer than you normally are out. How to conserve energy, you know, when you're out there, you know, how to, again, you know, that bit of standing around, you know, we all have, like, I mean, like, you know, we all sort of involved in club stuff at the minute. I mean, with the club stuff, you have it down to a T, because you know exactly where you want to be at what time, and you know how, you know where you want these guys in the last wee drill you do. These guys don't have the opportunity to do that fist passing drill to get the tempo up. They go straight from standing to the president, standing to the thing, the parade, standing for the national anthem to playing a match.
Like the mental side of that is huge, though. I mean, you need to have little triggers even when you're marching behind the band. You know, you have to have these two or three messages that you're repeating to yourself, you know, the self-talk as you're doing that, because, you know, the last thing you want to do is your mind start wandering, some doubts set in, you know, you're looking across the way at potential markers, and, you know, that's a real dodgy time for an inexperienced team. So, look, I'm sure, you know, all setups have gone so professional now that they've all that down to a T, but, you know, it's certainly an area where if you're not prepared, you could, you know, it could upset you just before the game.
And even the, you're talking about the media side of it there. This is, you were just talking about outside about the, like, these really prescribed, no, the press days, like, you know, that, like, back in that day, Dec, when you were playing, like, it was a case of all 30 something players were rolled out on a Saturday morning, and the management and anybody who wanted to have a conversation with the newspaper was there. Whereas now, you know, both Dublin and Kerry, it's a case of you get the manager and you get maybe two or three players, you get one guy that's only for the Sunday papers, you get another guy for a couple of the weeklies, and that's it, and that's your access kind of cut off. So, you know, it's a completely different animal now to what it was back in that day.
Yeah, I mean, when I started first in 2002, 2003, it was like that. We just wandered around the field and fellas chased us around trying to get a few sound bites, and fellas kicking ball at the reporters and that type of stuff. But then it got more controlled. And then, again, under the last couple of times with Jack, we almost saw it as, you know, a group thing again, where we actually all made ourselves available again, and we were all, you know, in the Brehon Hotel, and the whole panel were made available, and it was almost seen as a kind of a bonding thing that, you know, we didn't want to expose two or three guys to the whole hype of an All-Ireland final, that we were going to spread it out evenly. And I suppose as a group, we were more confident in ourselves, we were prepared to deal with whatever questions were coming, and, you know, we were used to seeing ourselves in the media at that stage. And, you know, you have to have a certain self-confidence as well, that, you know, you know, you can talk about the game and it doesn't have to affect you. And there's loads of examples out there where, you know, some guys come out before games and they talk well, and it gives them that bit of extra confidence, and they take that into the game. So look, I think it's much more control now again with social media and stuff like that, but I don't think it's going to have a huge impact, really.
Actually, in 1999, we won the Ulster title and we were playing Meath in an All-Ireland semi-final, and Brian McGlynn and Brian Cannon were over us at the time, and Brian McGlynn had this idea that we would do a press conference and that they would come to us. And when we finished the press conference with three players and the management, we were absolutely scandalized. And so much so that the GAA made us have a proper media day after that. And right enough, like I felt embarrassed, you know, being involved in the press conference because we were breaking away from the norm and you're going, oh, fuck, this doesn't really sit well. And you sort of knew that reporters were sitting in there and they weren't happy with what was going on. And
so like you were sitting up like at the top table
like a Champions League or the Premier League players do it. So he had trialed that, in fairness to him, you know, I mean, it was absolutely laughed out the door at that time, but that's exactly where we're at now. So Dublin were doing the press conference and naming their teams at what, 7:45 on a in the scale on a Monday morning, you know. You know, so we people have tinkered and but like teams now do what they want. You know what I mean? They're setting the tone, whereas it's the actually, GAA it's, and the media it's, had done before.
It's almost the case now. If you're asked to do the media, it means you're not probably not playing. You know, you often see that with teams now that the guys who are speaking the week before the game, even if they're named in the team, are likely the last minute changes and they're sitting down watching the game. So I think it's probably gone too far in that direction.
Or the sponsorship stuff. You know, the endorsement stuff. Like if it's the endorsement stuff, it's usually an injured player. I remember Tom Parsons, like Mayo rolled him out, like when he was injured, must have rolled him out for about 5 different sponsorships. Nice for Tom, but like you know, for I think people had heard everything that
And just before we kind of get off it, like was there just specifically in that week, Dec, like was there stuff, you know, was there anything that you used to always kind of go to on the week of a big game like that, an All-Ireland final or whatever, something that you used kind of maybe to, like I even thought of, you know, we used to sit together on the bus actually in that, and like those small little routines, like I remember Tom and Aidan Mahoney, you sit in the front seats on the left, myself and yourself in the back, and there used to be Finnerty and a couple behind us, and like all those small little kind of routines, like bring a kind of sense of comfort to the whole thing and familiarity, you know. Was there stuff that you used to go back to?
I think it kind of starts really, you know, your game preparation is the Thursday night or the last training session, those little chats you have as a forward unit, you know, you're talking to the Gooch or Paul or midfielders. I used to always have a thing, you know, that, you know, for the throw-in, that I'd always make myself available for the midfielder if we wanted to get an early touch, take my man on, or if we'll often give a free very early in the game. So I'd try and make myself available, have this thing I had with Tommy Griffin for a long period where he'd give me the ball and I'd just drive at my men, try win a free early on. So you're having these little discussions on the Thursday night, and just so you're comfortable yourself that you know what's coming, and then really I retreat into my own bubble, you know, stay away from as many people as possible, really. You know, you're not going out talking about the game in your head to randomers, really, beforehand, and you're nearly the game played before you ever start, and you're isolating yourself a small bit and just going for a few walks. Visualizing is a huge part of it, so you're visualizing stuff that you want to do, you're visualizing stuff that, what if this happens now, if my man from centre back gets on a break and he tears up the field and kicks a score, how am I going to react? And that's a huge thing, trying to prepare yourself to react in the right way, and you want to have your body language right, and all that stuff you can control yourself, and you have to do that work yourself, and then it all kind of flows in when you meet as a group then on a Saturday morning hitting for Dublin. Really loved that part of it. Everything was laid out in front of you. You're having those little discussions. You're switching off. And as you get older, obviously, you're a bit more experienced. And then, like you say, it's all about routine then. Get up early in the morning. Whoever I used to room with, I'd say used to annoy the hell out of them. But I get up early, go away for a walk, and just chill out in the morning of the game. And then, you know, sitting with the right people, sitting in the dressing room, you know, in the usual places, going to the warm-up area yourself, having a few kicks, all the time, you know, self-talk, visualising, and then you're just priming yourself that, you know, that first ball, really. I think as a forward, probably as much as anything, you want to get your hands on the ball early and you want to make a positive impact in the game. And once you do that, then it kind of flows, and, you know, all that work and all that prep you've done as a group will hopefully come out.
Yeah, anything like we had a couple of fellas on that train were always the tea bag throwers. You know the guys that they take the wet tea bag out of the thing Next you get lumped with a lovely white polo shirt like Kerry, just out of the wrapper, and you get smashed with a wet tea bag that just destroys about a foot and a half of stuff. And you know, that always was stuff that used to break the tension and break the, you know, the nervousness, I suppose, that would always be naturally there. But
you get your first taste of what it's like as well, because, you know, people knew we'd be going on the train in Killarney, and you'd have supporters coming around in that colour, and you do get that shot of adrenaline hitting on the train. And I always felt it, you know, once we got on that train, Eamon Fitzmaurice had a brilliant tagline in 2009, you know, that we boarded a train in Killarney, we travel with a spirit that won't be broken, you know. That's the kind of close bond that you have then when you get together on the weekend of an All-Ireland, and it's important the fellas feel comfortable and confident in that bubble then going to Dublin.
Just like that, you know, one of the things that used to make me feel comfortable was that sitting on the bus and making sure I was sitting the same. We used to have four seats facing each other. And
see, that's a fancy bus. No, we didn't
have that kind of stuff. We used to not to get that until we actually got somewhere. Like if we were heading for Dublin or something, we used to never get that when we were going through Ulster. But once we got to that stage, I always made sure I was sitting, like Tierney used to always sit in our place, and like he just talked basically. None of us had to use up any energy whatsoever. He just talked from one end of the day to the other. But you're talking about little things to break the tension. You know, I remember I'm not sure if it was all in semi final or in a final in 2002, but Benny Tierney come down to breakfast with his bag, and like he's saying, something wrong with this bag. And he opened the bag, and Justin and Enda McNulty had about 25 kettles, you know, kettles from every room that we had put in the thing. And that was just breaking the tension. But the one thing about the two boys is they just dumped the stuff out. They hadn't, you know, so we had to go and try and find his boots and all. But me and Stevie as well, we used to go down for breakfast before anybody else got up. We used to get up early and go down for breakfast and get a proper breakfast before we'd have to eat, like, no, who wants to eat chicken and pasta at 11:30 in the morning? Like, that used to kill me. We used to go down and have a proper breakfast, so then we came to that, we just say we weren't that hungry, you know. So, it's just a routine. It's just one of those things, you know, and it wasn't even about the breakfast. It was just something that you did. Even, I don't know, it just makes you feel that little bit comfortable. You're doing your own thing.
It's time management as well, isn't it? You're trying to manage the time just to get yourself to Croke Park, really, and that's the big thing, like.
John and Tony McIntyre used to sleep on the way from the City West to Croke Park. Sleep. I'm there, my head's about to fucking explode with everything that's going on, and they're just laying back and just sleep. You know, and that's just, and it didn't matter what game you were going to, how big the game was. You know, you're going through, going up Jones Road, and there's people banging on the side of the bus. People have been obviously drinking from 9 o'clock in the morning, but they're banging on the side of the bus, and the two boys are.
But it is. It's amazing how different people. Like I remember, I was sitting at the top of the bus with Dara Shea, and maybe Tomás would sit behind, and you could hear Dara Shea grinding on the plastic of a bottle of water, and he just grinding it and grinding it, and he looking out the window. And I remember him saying one stage going to one of the games. Wouldn't it be great to be a man there just chilling out, having a pint, and you know, and I felt that myself. The older you get, it's like, Jesus, you know, can I deal with this anymore? You realize the significance of it, maybe. So maybe that's an advantage Kerry have going to this. They have so many young guys that maybe the expectation isn't there. Maybe they'll just go and they won't realize the significance of it, and they just play. But yeah, it's incredible to see how different fellas deal with the whole occasion.
It's very individual, like, isn't it? Yeah, and like the experience, like you're saying there, it certainly can be a help. And then also at times it's a hindrance, because you know what's coming and you know the pressure that you're about to face. But I mean, jumping forward, I suppose, about 20 years or 15 years anyway, as to these current crop, like, where, you know, in a very general way to start off, like, where are the couple of really crucial areas that you see this game being won and lost for either side, O'Shane?
For me, it's the Brian Fenton thing, because, you know, the Jack Barry thing is, like, will Kerry play Jack Barry on Fenton? That's the first question I want to know.
So if you were Peter Keane, what would you do?
I can't see how he can, to be honest, because Jack Barry's no football under his belt at this stage, and I find it very, very difficult to play him. But then all Keane has to do is he has to look at it and say, this man's completely wiped him out now in, what, two and a half games, whatever it is, three games maybe, and, you know, how do you completely ignore that? And that's the big conundrum for me, whether I know that's probably not as general a point as you want, but I think has a big bearing on what goes on, because if Kerry put all those eggs in Jack Barry's basket and it doesn't quite happen for 25 minutes, it's game over for me, you know, because Brian Fenton is the one player like that. The last day when Cluxton was struggling with a couple, you know, just bang him out on top of him, we won 2-3 balls in the middle of the field, makes a huge amount of difference.
Yeah, the Brian Fenton, Jack Barry discussion is really, you know, Kerry wouldn't want to fall into the trap thinking that Jack Barry is definitely going to nullify Brian Fenton, and it's dangerous talk. If Brian Fenton is listening to this talk over the last couple of weeks, I'm sure he's going to be annoyed, and he's going to be out to prove a point. But I think the evidence for Peter Keane is, you know, Jack Barry has done well in him in the past. And I think the crucial factor for me is that I think he has to play him because, okay, Ocean, you said it's the Brian Fenton factor, but I think it's the whole middle third factor. And Kerry need to be able to dominate, not even dominate, but they need to be able to compete. And they need to get bigger fellas on the field. And I think that means Jack Barry starts. And if it's, you know, for me, I think Jack Sherwood starts as well. He starts on Brian Howard. And we need to try match up physically and with Dublin around the middle of the field. So I think from that point alone, I think he has to probably plumb for Jack Barry as well.
Jeez, you're blowing up half the team. You're making changes. You're making changes all over the place. So Ray Cosgrove has joined us to give us the views from the blue corner. So, like the Fenton one is going to be interesting, lads. And like Fenton for me, Ray is the best footballer in the country. I think the guy, like he's just improves every game we see him. His fielding, his ball playing, his scoring, his athleticism, his leadership. No, like for such a young guy, I just think he's the top of the tree. And if Kerry go with Jack Barry or go with somebody else, like this idea that he's going to like completely negate Brian Fenton or somebody is
it's probably a two-man job. Like, you know, it's probably, you know, 30, 40, 50 minutes one guy and then try and bring a fresh guy on to really, you know, try punch a few holes again and you know, because Brian Fenton is so dominant.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. Me personally, I think Fento's the engine room in the Dublin team. You know, he hasn't lost a championship game heretofore. I heard Declan mention, you know, Jack Barry. I watched the two of them play Sigerson Cup in Belfield there a couple of years ago. I agree. I think Kerry are going to have to play Jack Barry for his mobility alone. I don't think Dermot O'Connor or Adrian Spillane will be up to the test, to be perfectly honest. So Peter Keane and Mars Fitz, I'm sure they've done a huge amount of analysis over the last few weeks. But one way to stop in Dublin, you have to stop Fento. You know, if Fento gets a run on you, if Dublin dominate the middle third, you know, it's going to be hard to stop Dublin because they've got such power up front, such a number of forwards. Fento is key, and I think he's going to take some serious stopping on Sunday.
Yeah, and it'll be that's one fascinating matchup. But like, there's so many. I mean, the two areas I suppose of particular interest are those Kerry forwards, and you know, your Paul Gainey, your David Clifford, your Stephen O'Brien, Gillian Splann has done well in the couple of games. Sean O'Shea, obviously, like that kind of four or five bodies against, you know, Paul Mannion, Conor Callaghan, Brian Howard, Scully, you know, they're Kieran Kilkenny, obviously, like both of the forwards, you're heavy on forwards on both sides, and it's going to be which defence is able to kind of cope with those guys, depending on that ball in the middle of the field. And I don't know, Oisin, like, I mean, have you seen much of an improvement in those Kerry backs or that Kerry collective defending from the start of the year to now?
I definitely thought they were a little bit better second half the last day. The matchups, I think, for Kerry is absolutely crucial. Tom O'Sullivan has proved to me to be a man marker, which I didn't think he was. I thought he was a guy who got give you a lot going the opposite way. Was a decent enough defender, but you know, was more about being on the front foot than getting into the attack. But when you look at Dublin, I can't see any. I'm not sure if there's anybody in that Dublin forward line that he is capable of picking up, to be honest. He's like, if you look at what he's done, like he's picked up Jamie Brennan and he's picked up Peter Hart, and he's done unbelievable jobs on them. I think Peter Hart had something like four touches in the game.
Yeah, four touches.
Yeah, Like, that's a mad stat, really. He's done a really good job there. I'm not actually sure who he's fit to pick up. I think just Mannion, Con O'Callaghan, Dean Rock. I mean, I think Foley is, like, you know, just looking at Declan's matchups here. I've had a good go at them there. But Jason Foley is probably ideal for the likes of Dean Rock. Keg Morley has to pick up Con O'Callaghan because he's the only one who would have the physicality to do that. After that, lads, I'll be really worried about the Kerry defence.
From Kerry point of view and from management point of view, you're looking at some of the matchups and you're hoping rather than expecting, you know. So I'd agree there to a certain extent. But I think Tom Sullivan could do a job on Paul Mannion. You know, I think he's athletic. He's really tight. He's shown himself to be a real tight marking when needs to be. I had him underage, a few teams involved. And he's a real good, tight defender. And I think the fact with Paul Mannion is that he's such a shooter that you need the pace to be right with him when he gets the ball, because if you're half yard off, he gets a shot away so quickly that you have to have pace, and Tom Sullivan has pace. So I think, you know, he could potentially pick up Paul Mannion. But you look at Tadhg Morley and Con O'Callaghan, that matchup, you're hoping there, really, but you're hoping that Tadhg will have the strength to hold up Con O'Callaghan until such time as a bit of help comes. But, you know, it's not a great matchup for Kerry, probably.
Decent preparation against McShane the last day. Like, you know, when he did go in at McShane, I thought he changed things.
He did, he did
I
really
thought
well.
That was a good switch. I thought Foley for Tadhg Morley, I thought that was a good switch. And I thought, and physically, I've seen Tadhg Morley. I've seen, you know, revert back. I know we're going back a bit now. But I'm doing this for Kerry's perspective and to give some hope to Kerry people. But remember the day that that Kerry beat Dublin, in the league final?
Yeah,
and I know Shanahan was playing in one corner. Tadhg Morley, I think, was six. But physically, Tadhg Morley wasn't backing down that day, you know. But he had a bit of help around him. I'm just not really sure if he has that help. But as long as he doesn't get completely isolated in that full back lane with him.
To be fair to Tadhg, he's resilient, though. Like, he's a good, real good head in him. You know, all the reports, he wasn't in the squad when I was there my last year, but he came in shortly after, and all the reports are that he's a great team player, really resilient, will hang in there, you know, won't get phased if Con gets a bit of success early on from him, he'll dig in. So, you know, I think he's the right mentality, but, you know, Con has just been in fantastic form. So, you know, it's going to be
really
difficult.
Hard to plan for somebody who you know is going to go for you every time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's forwards out there who, you know, who maybe be happy to take a step back off you and kick a point. He take a step back off you and have another go at you.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's the thing with those matchups, lads. Like, realistically, Ray, those forwards, like, you're not going to stop those forwards one-on-one. Like, you cannot ask Jason Foley or Tadhg Morley or Tom Sullivan individually one-on-one in 30 yards of space to go and stop these guys one-on-one, because we'll be seeing more green flags than blue.
You'll have to, though, Mike. There will be situations with Dublin. You have to, you know, as a back, that's the mentality they'll have to have. They'll have to fight their own corner. If anything else comes, any other help comes, so be it. But they're really gone if they think that, you know, there's going to be help around them all the time. It's impossible in Croke Park, and the way Dublin play, they'll have to fight their own battle as well.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. You know, boys, just you mentioned, like, the two lads, Con and Paul. You know, they're two contenders for Footballer of the Year. Mm. No matter who locks onto them on Sunday, they're going to have their hands full. Mm. As Oisín said, all Con wanted to do the last day was run at Leroy. He ran Leroy into the ground. Every time he got the ball, he'd goal on his mind. And being a Tadhg Morley or whoever picks him up, he's going to be thinking all the time on his toes. On Paul, like, Paul kicked 5 points from play the last day. I know Paul since he's a young lad, but the 5 points that he kicked the last day, it's not as though Brandon Harrison was giving him lots and lots of space. He just gave him that fraction and Paul just pulled the trigger, and he's in that space now that once he wins possession, he'll pull the trigger, and his shot efficiency has improved dramatically. Like, his percentages are way up in the 80s, I'd assume, without knowing the stats behind it. It's, you know, we're bypassed any conversation around Dean Rock. You know, Dean was instrumental in the semi-final. His free taking was massive and kept Dublin in the game. And if Dean produces anything like he has done in the past, another previous All-Ireland finals, Dean will chip away with a couple of points from play as well. So you don't want to be too dismissive of Dean.
But it's just a better matchup for Kerry. Yeah. Jason Foley, such speed. I think Dean struggled a small bit with speed. And I think if Jason, it's a big ask. Jason is his first final, obviously, but he has that speed to deny Dean ball, which you know, could be important.
Yeah, of all the matchups, that's probably the least worried I'd be from a Kerry point of view, yeah. Is that Foley Rock one.
And like, while like Dean Rock is and the free taking lads is obviously going to be a big part of it, and the guy is unerring like from place ball, and he's going to chip in with 2 or 3 points no matter who's working marking him, but he's not like the other two are going to kill you, like he'll hurt you, but the other two are capable of killing you, and the other side of the ball then in terms of Dublin's matchups with those Kerry forwards, I mean, you know, like Clifford, it's going to be the same thing, really. I think, I know Dublin's guys with Johnny Cooper and these fellas are more experienced and they're more battle-hardened and they've probably a better idea what they're doing defensively. But the way Clifford and Ganey and these guys are going now, Stephen O'Brien is playing football of his life, they're still going to put up a big enough score, and it's going to be interesting to see how Dublin match up with those guys.
Yeah, certainly, you know, Jim has, I think, stuck to the old routine. I think the boys were down in Doonbeg 2 weeks ago, so they will have done a huge amount of analysis on the Kerry attack. I think Johnny Cooper will probably pick up Paul Ganey from a physical perspective. He'll probably be able to match him. Mick Fitzsimons, you know, I only realised he started the All-Ireland Final 2011 and he marked a gooch. So he probably might pick up Clifford. But no, they're so transferable. You know, one could pick up the other. I'll put out a bold statement here, fellas. I think Johnny Cooper's the best footballer, best defender of the country. So whoever Johnny marks on Sunday, they're going to have that, you know, they're going to earn whatever they get. He is an absolute dogged defender. You know, he's like a pit bull at your
I remember knees. I came on in Killarney one of my last years playing, and it was his first year with Dublin. I came on late in the game. They were beating us by 9 or 10 points the same day, and he was only a slip of a guy. Yeah. But his attitude, his intensity, and I was there like in my own head, this guy needs to calm down a small bit here, you know, it's the league. But, you know, I underestimated him a small bit, you know, I think that's what he brings to the whole group, Dublin. I think even in training, I'd say he's a real serious operator, driving the standards and driving the intensity in training, but he left a lasting mark on me that day, just his intensity and everything he was doing that day was really, really good. So, you know, you can see why he's developed into the player he has.
Yeah, like his leadership around the place is a real telling factor. Like he's a driving force behind that the six backs as a unit. You know, he orchestrates everything that goes on. I'm sure at half time when all the talking has been done from a defensive perspective, Johnny is the main man, you know, calling the shots. But even the analysis, this Dublin team, it's very much player led, and you know, the guys go off, they'll have done their own personal analysis on the Kerry attack, and they'll know, you know, what foot each lad kicks off. So they'll have their homework.
Would they get
done.
A say in who they mark, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They drive themselves. They'll be saying, listen, I fancy picking him up or whoever. That's
really progressive, in fairness.
Big time. And that's something that kind of Jim leaves to the players. I know from talking to guys in the past, you know, they'll say, yeah, well, you're getting a bit of a trimming. Why not? I'll go over and nullify him. So they do take ownership of it themselves. I think that's a massive factor that's been instilled in this Dublin team.
That's massive, you know. What is Jim doing then? Is he just there
driving the bus?
Is he just he's at the wheel. Is he just there for the sound bites after the match?
That is interesting though. Like that is, you know. Now I'm sure the guy is giving direction on what I think is the right way to go. But like these guys now that are creating this kind of an environment for players to really take that ownership is the way the whole thing is kind of going. Now the only thing is if about 4 or 5 and come back and say I'll take Killian Spillane and somebody else could take Clifford and Ganey, but I don't see that happening. But you still see those forwards as good as those Dublin backs are, and those Dublin backs are undoubtedly, you know, ahead of where the Kerry backs are right now. You still see those Kerry forwards putting up a pretty decent score, don't you?
And they'll get space and they'll enjoy it. I think the Kerry forwards will enjoy it. I think, you know, when you consider the lack of space they operated in the last day and still figured it out in the end, I think they'll enjoy, you know, the likes of Clifford will enjoy it. I just think that the decision making just has to be top notch now. You know, Clifford, you know, I think he's been exceptional. Even when his back has been to the wall, spoke to you a couple of times about that, Mike, about, you know, I think the making of him has been when things haven't been going his way and he still pops up and he's still, you know, willing to take that shot on. But I think he'll enjoy it a little bit more, but he can't afford, you know, unfortunately as a forward, you just can't afford a wide. He just can't afford any wides. You need to be nailing absolutely everything, free kicks, everything just has to go.
And Clifford has, you know, physically he's a nice matchup with Fitzsimons. I think Kerry would like that, even though I know Mick is probably seen as a prime man marker there, and he's, you know, he's physically intensive and stuff, but, you know, he's not a big man, and Clifford definitely could have a big, you know, if he wanders into the edge of the square, he could definitely be a good mismatch for Kerry there. And Paul Gainey's good over his head. For me, the question then is who do Kerry put in there with them? I think that's really gonna set the tone, I think, from a Kerry point of view.
And what are you saying there, Dick? That sounded like a leading statement.
No, but I mean, there's a couple of questions for me in terms of the Dublin defence. Where do they play James McCarthy? I think they would like to play in midfield. I think they'd like to get a man, David Moore, maybe. And that means there's a space then in defence. And if Kerry throw a wild card like Tommy Welch in there, who's the obvious man marker for Tommy Welch then? And I think that's what you have to do with Dublin. Try unsettle them and see. I don't know what you think, Ray. Yeah. Who would be the obvious candidate there?
Well, you know, it is interesting. So, looking at it from a Kerry perspective, you know, everyone will vast majority of people are saying that the Dublin fullback line is the weak link. And if you look at last year's All Ireland final, fellas, the entire fullback line will probably be replaced. Philly Mack, Keane, yeah, and Owen Merchant, they're not going to start. Yeah. So from that alone, you're seeing change. So if you were looking to target any part of the field, you'd be targeting the Dublin full back line. In saying that, they still only conceded one goal from open play. Declan is right. I think Kerry are going to have to do something a little bit special, a little bit different on Sunday to beat this Dublin team. Tommy Walsh probably is the X factor. They have to go for broke. I'd firmly believe Kerry have got to go for broke. If they don't, they're not going to have enough firepower, in my opinion. And Tommy would certainly ask some serious questions of that Dublin full back line. You know, his aerial ability, he's a wrecking ball in the air, his use of the ball is exceptional, and he's able to, you know, kick off both feet. So bringing other guys into the game as well, I think he is a must to start if Kerry are going to win.
And he gives flexibility as well, because he gives that other option out the field. You know, he did really well against Tyrone, coming out, drifting out in those pockets of space and being that target guy from the kick out. Because, you know, you can talk about the matchups in the full back line and the full forward line, but, you know, who's winning primary ball in the middle of the field is going to have a huge bearing on, you know, who withstands the pressure the best.
And before you get off the Tommy Welch one, is the league game, remember, in Tralee earlier in the year, now I know it's league, and when Tommy came on that day, actually, it was interesting that James McCarthy had been playing wing back on Gavin O'Brien, and pretty quickly, after a minute or two, Johnny Cooper actually stayed on him for a minute, and then they realised that wasn't a good matchup, and they put James back there. And if nothing else, like, if you're pinning James McCarthy back on the edge of his square, that's a kind of a plus for Kerry in that sense. Outside of anything else that he actually contributes to the game. And I'm not sure, Oisín, where are you on that?
I'm just going to say, do you think Tommy Walsh is going to last 70 or 80 minutes?
Well, he won't.
I don't think so. So I'd be taking him on, because remember, Dublin are getting strong. You know, last 10 minutes of the game, I would try and move them around a little bit, and Kerry have been good at that. I'm not sure who the answer is at the other corner forward. Darren Moynan came on last day. I thought he's more probably a half forward. I thought he'd done really, really well. You could put him in there and pull the two boys around, play Clifford and Gainey inside together, and I think they could still do a huge amount of damage. Because again, you're going to get the space. They're not going to leave somebody sit unless Kerry do the same on the opposite side. So I played two boys in, and I'd leave Tommy Walsh in reserve for the last 20 minutes. Come in. Put first three balls you get around the middle of the field, put them in top of them.
But is that the time, though, you know, when late in the game, you know, should you be putting ball up for grab, like 50-50 against Dublin? You know, they've become actually very defensive, I think. You know, they've managed the game quite well, and if they are in a lead and they've no problem dropping 13-14 men behind the ball, we've seen them do it in lots of games, and if they're 3 or 4 or 5 points up and Tommy's coming in, and we're just, our tactic is to lamp ball on top of him, I think they'll swallow it.
Yeah, but I don't think, you see, I think I'm in your kind of camp with bringing Tommy into the game, but you can't bring him into a game that's already gone from you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he's got to be in early enough to affect the change.
Fairness, yeah.
And the big thing, Dick, with Tommy, as you know well, Tommy is not Donaghy. He doesn't want the ball 10 foot over his head. Like, Tommy, as he did against Tyrone, wants that ball out in front of him, because he's got, like, I know he's probably not as quick as he was back in 09 before he left, but the guy can still get out in front.
He makes good runs, yeah.
And if he's in front, you're not getting around him. And whether it's like if they try to bring, like, to Rory Carroll, who looked a long way off it the last day,
Philly
or
Mack,
they don't have a good matchup outside of James McCarthy. And I think if you're in a game, if this is a 1 or a 2 point game, with 20 minutes to go and you now bring in Tommy, no, that's your perfect scenario that's from a Kerry point of view. But if you're 5 or 6 down at half time and you start lamping in ball up in the air, that's Dublin are going to eat that alive.
I still think because of that though, even because of the Tommy Walsh factor, okay, I still think that's why they'll play Michael Darragh McCauley in the middle of the field, and they'll still play McCarthy in the back line, and if they have to rejig it, that's the rejigging, whereas it's not major surgery, you know, whereas you're taking McCarthy from the middle of the field, you're upsetting yourself. So I think they'll have that in the back. I think Dublin will have that in the back of the
mind. I suppose the other thing for me for Tommy Wells to start, and look, you know, there's good cases for everything, but if you look through the Kerry team, how many of them played in All-Ireland final before? Tommy Wells has great memories of 1-9. You know, he kicked 4 points that day, 2 at his left, 2 at his right. You know, he's been away in a professional setup in Australia. He's come back. You know, he's great experience. He's temperament for the big day. And like we spoke about the build-up, you know, before games, starting well. Dublin haven't started games well, you know, in the last couple of, you know, in the first half haven't been, you know, their best performances typically come in the second half. So he just gives the Kerry team that extra bit of experience. So, look, it's going to be difficult. It's a tough one for the Kerry management even, but I'd be leaning towards starting.
Yeah, I'm
with Declan on this. I don't believe that without him in the team, I don't think Darragh Moynan or Killian Spann or whoever goes in there is going to cause that much trouble that's going to really affect the Dublin team. And if Dublin, as Dick said, if Dublin get out of the traps at all on Sunday, and, you know, if they were to get a couple of goals early doors, Kerry are chasing the game. And, like, lads, you don't want to be chasing the game playing against Dublin, because they can change the team whatever way they want. They could bring Keane in as a sweeper. Yeah, absolutely. If Tommy comes in edge of the square, they probably will move James Mack back. From a physical contact perspective, James Mack will love that, and he'll be able to break ball with him. So I think, you know, if you put the cat amongst the pigeons early doors, you never know what could happen. And I think that's the only hope that Kerry have, in my opinion. I think late on, no more than, you know, Andy Moore coming on the last day against Mayo, like, he never got to the pitch of the game at all. That could happen to the Tommy the next day. If the right sort of ball doesn't go in, he mightn't get the right. He hasn't played a huge amount of football all year, lads. I think he played against Meath for 20 minutes, and the bit he played against.
But, Tyrone, you know, so. He's such good vibes after the last day, though. Maybe it's time just to leave him go, you know, leave him off.
Absolutely.
I'm convinced. I'll put him in now.
Ring Peter Keane there, put him in, yeah. No, it'll be, and look, it's another fascinating kind of, like while the forwards are so heavily laden with talent on both sides, like, as always with Dublin, and now with Kerry in the All-Ireland final, the impact off the bench is going to be crucial the next day in the last 20 minutes. And like you mentioned, Andy Moore in the last day for Mayo, I thought, like, Andy Moore and these guys, Kevin McLaughlin even for Mayo, they were brought in when the game was over. Yeah. And like Michael Fitzsimons put Andy Moore in his pocket, and he won every ball that was kicked in his corner, and it was too late. And that's the kind of scenario that you can't have happen. And to be fair to Peter Keane and the management against Tyrone, they made changes early, and they made changes that actually affected the course of the game, and one of those was Tommy. But then you also had the likes of Jack Sherwood coming into the game, a guy who's funny coming into an All-Ireland final, lads, that nobody is mentioning. The guy is James O'Donoghue. Like, I mean, James O'Donoghue has had an absolute injury nightmare with about 4 years, and he hasn't played anywhere near the kind of level that he's capable of playing. But, like, is he a guy who's going to be number 25, 26 on a panel and maybe gets 10 minutes here and can affect the game? Oisín doesn't look like he's got a face of agreement. And then the other side of it is the Dublin guys, the Dublin subs that are going to come off the bench and impact the game. I think the likes of Kevin McMenamin has probably gone back a little bit. You know, Paddy Andrews, Bernie Brogan, they probably don't have the same. It's going to be, you know, Cormac Costello, Connolly. And then Connolly is the wild card.
Paddy Small. Paddy's come on in every game. Cormac, you know, started the... He played all the Leinster Challenger games, you know, was the number one free taker, but he's gone back into the pack. We all know what sort of impact he's had in All-Ireland finals over the last couple of years. Cormac is a magnificent footballer, and to be able to introduce him later on, like, off left or right, lads, he's going to be a handful for anyone to come in. And when the game opens up, you know, Costello could really be, you know, a menace. Dermot is the, you know, he got in the last day. He's obviously back in the 21 that Jim is going to think about. Like, a month ago, 5-6 weeks ago, I would never thought that Dermot would be coming on, or the potential coming on in an All-Ireland final. So, you know, Dublin have a wealth of riches to look to on the sideline if they're chasing a game. no more than Tommy, you know, has Dermot really been at the high intensity level that the rest of the lads have played at all year. I just question whether Dermot has, you know, is he at that level? If the game is in the melting pot and the intensity is high as it is, it's grand playing club football up in Dublin all year. Got 70 minutes against Tyrone. You know, the last 5 minutes against Mayo.
He'll take a lot of attention though if certainly he comes will. On. You know, yeah. The Kerry backs, was there, you know, we need to keep an eye on this guy. And he may not do a huge amount, but he might open up a little pocket of space or a dummy run for somebody else. And, you know, he's still going to play a big part, I would say.
It doesn't look as if he's going to cut your heart out anymore, though, than the way he used to. You know, the way he would go down the middle and go for the juggler. It doesn't just look like that. Actually, I was a lot more impressed with Bernard Brogan when he came on against Tyrone. I know it was a nothing game. But I thought Bernard Brogan looked sharp. He looked, and just go back to a couple of years ago when Costello came onto the pitch, having played absolutely no football all year, and kicked 3 points at the end of the game. And yeah. You just wonder, is there somebody in that Dublin setup that can possibly do that? And I'm thinking, if I see Bernard Brogan's name on that 26, maybe he's the one. You know?
Yeah, I just.
I still think Bernard Brogan's a better option than Dame O'Connolly at this moment in time. Really do. I think Dame O'Connolly's, from what I've seen of him so far, is way off.
Yeah, I suppose also only in Dermot's defence. Like, he came on, he played midfield up in Oma. Mm-hmm. So he didn't, like, he was getting a ball, he was taking a touch and spraying it around. He was more creative than what we'd normally associate him at, you know, maybe centre forward, wing forward, and running, driving at defenders. Yeah, from the outside looking in, Bernard must be really disappointed that, you know, he's out of the picture. Didn't make the match day 26, the last day, having worked tirelessly throughout the winter. Young Sean Bugler from his own club has got ahead of him. You know, you have
it's
to ask the question.
I know it's a stretch. I'm just saying, like, is that something like, is Gavin planning that far ahead, or is he, you know, is he looking at it? And like, if it really is what's going on in training, is there somebody going to jump out onto the page all Ireland final day and you're thinking, well, okay, they've made the 26, but, you know, like, that day Costello come on, I mean, there was absolutely no way you would think he's going to be in one of the six substitutions.
I agree with you. Listen, if the game is in the melting pot late on, you're looking to the bench, you know, do you look to Sean Bugler potentially or Bernard Brogan? I'd sooner know a man that's tried and tested, that's been Dublin's best forward over the last decade nearly, that, you know, that can score when the chips are down and you need to pull a score out of somewhere. He'll take far more mind than Sean would if he makes the 26. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Bernard, you know, got into the 26. But I'm just concerned because he hasn't, you know, the only run he got was against Tyrone, and that would leave me concerned that he's probably not part of Jim's plans.
And it's not as if Jim does, like, emotion or romanticism or anything. So, you know, it's not going to get into... Yeah, he's not going to get in because of that. He's not going to get in and say, well, this could be Bernard's last game, so let's give him 5 minutes. That doesn't seem to work like that.
Certainly not. You know, and you know, as you said, Jim, Declan, Jao, they don't do emotion, lads. They're here solely to win one game of football on Sunday. And whoever they think is best positioned to do that, be it Dermot, Bernard, whoever it is, Paddy Small, they will have those fellas primed and ready to go on Sunday.
And like you said, Dick, that is a nice, luxurious position to be in, I suppose. But it just, like, these games now, lads, are going into 80 minutes. Like, they're going to be 80-plus minutes, and it isn't just those 15 guys. It's going to be, like, whoever is your 17, 18, 19, 20 guys that are going to, like, more often than not, they're the ones now that are going to dictate where this game finishes up, and it's just going to be interesting. Yeah. I think that the impact of the Dublin bench isn't as devastating as it was 5, 6, 7 years ago when McMenamin was just coming in and absolutely terrorising everybody. They're not at that level right now, but it's whether Kerry have those guys that can
match. If you look at the Kerry bench coming off, it's not as if we're bringing, you know, real game changers off the bench either. You know, Dublin are still a good bit ahead in terms of their overall squad to Kerry, so they're still at an advantage, I think, in the subs. But from a Kerry point of view, I think what we want is us to start well and get a couple of, maybe one or two of the Dublin fellas out of there early and force Jim to make a few moves before he wants to, and not to have all these options coming down the last 15, 20 minutes. You know, if you can reduce his options at that stage, maybe, you know, one or two backs have to come on because, you know, Kerry has started well and, you know, there's a few mismatches. Then your evening, the feel is small. But so, I mean, that's what Kerry are looking for.
The other big aspect, I suppose, is that we haven't really touched on yet, and I know it gets played out a lot every time Dublin are playing, but like Cluxton's kind of...
I thought you were going to say the ref.
No. See. Stay off the David Goff thing now. Like, Fitzmaurice got enough trouble last week because of David Goff. And we all got guilty, or we're all guilty by association. But and I know it's boring because we say it every game, and it's just people, you know, find it like monotonous because, oh, it's Cluxton. The guy is still guaranteeing them about 17 out of 20 possessions at low water every game. And it's going to be just fascinating again, as Kerry have always tried to traditionally do, put pressure on that kick out, and how they do that will be interesting, because we know on the other side of the ball, Dublin are going to push 12 bodies into the Kerry half, and they're going to, you know, Shane Ryan's going to put down the tee, and a rookie goalkeeper is going to be looking out at a sea of blue bodies in front of him, trying to find a little pocket of space to find some green and gold jersey, when really they just want you to pike it out the middle into a contest, and Fenton or somebody comes over and cleans ball, and like, you're going to have about 40 kickouts the next day, Dick, and like, we're talking about the quality of both forwards. Like, Kerry really need to maximise the number of possessions they get, because we know Dublin are probably going to win more of Kerry's than Kerry are of Dublin's.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, I think over any game, Kerry will just have to face up to the fact that the ball is going to have to go to the middle. I don't think Shane Ryan is experienced enough with that type of pressure and that type of heat to be going short too often. And it's, you know, it's a great position in many ways for Kerry to be, from an individual point of view. It's kind of mano v mano. Can we win secure possession in the middle of the field? And that's why I think having Tommy Welsh there drifting out there, having Jack Sherwood on the field along with Jack Barry, David Morn, all of a sudden then you're trying to match up with the Brian Howards, the Brian Fintons, the Michael Darras, James McCarthy's. And then you have to say, guys, we're going to have to compete, and we're going to have that intensity around the ball. We're going to have to get numbers and bodies in around it and live and die by it. I think we're going to have to put the ball out, because if we go short, even if we do secure possession, Dublin have become so well at managing games, they'll just drift back. And it's going to be a long day if we're going to try, you know, run our way through the Dublin 13 or 14 bodies all day long. So I think Kerry are going to have to live and die by going longer than usual.
I hate to agree with you again, but yeah, I think Shane Ryan is going to have to kick the ball long. You know, they're going to have to put it out the middle third of the field and contest it. It might be, you know, I don't know if he has the kicking ability that Rory Began or Patton from Donegal have. You know, they're very accurate with their long distance kicks. Don't know if Shane is quite in the same league as that, but I think they're going to have to go down that way. You know, if it does go short, the risks are massive. You know, when you think of the couple of guys, that the goal getters that are in there, if it does break down there, you know, you're in big, big trouble. I think the ball is going to have to travel a distance,
especially early on. I think you know, Dublin are going to be primed to go after Shane Ryan, a rookie goalkeeper, first All-Ireland final. They're going to put the squeeze,
and I think that's good for Shane Ryan as well, because there's no mix. If that's what they're talking about, they'll be talking about it for 2 weeks. There's no mixed messages for him. He knows it's going along. The accuracy doesn't have to be what it was. He doesn't have to be he doesn't have to be Cluxton, because everybody's trying to be Cluxton, and everybody's trying to be that keeper that can kick it into those wee 2-3 metre pockets, and he doesn't have to be that. He's not under the pressure to be that, and when he is under that pressure, doesn't work for him, and he's just not at that. He's not at that stage yet. That's not saying that he won't get to that stage, but he's still, as you say, a rookie, and that may have, but that will help him. If they've decided, listen, we're going long. If they've decided on that, there's no mixed messages with Shane Ryan over the next. Like if there's something really simple on, they set down the ball. There's something really simple on. There's nobody there, but you can pop it. Otherwise, we're sitting down and we're setting up and we're going long and we have a plan.
And is no, the plan was that Mike Tyson, whenever has a plan, they get punching him out. But like, didn't Mayo have a similar plan to start the second half? To be fair, in the whole game, they probably had the same idea with Rob Henley most of the time, just piked the ball out towards Aidan Shea or somebody outside there. And eventually, in that first 10 minutes of the second half, Dublin put up a steel curtain and every ball was just bouncing off the middle of the field and was going right back on top of Henley. Like, if Shane Ryan goes long in his first 4 or 5 kickouts, deck, and Dublin score 1-2 off it, and you're under pressure, you can't keep piking the ball out the middle.
Not the ideal thing is you want to retain possession, so if you can get it out early and get it out safely to a guy, of course you're going to take that option, but Dublin won't give you that option, I think, and especially early on, they're really going to hone in on that, I think. So to simplify everything for the goalkeeper, number one, and for the team in general, put it up to them, put the ball out there, and you need to win possession. You know, you're not going to win everyone, but at least your six backs are still in position. Even if you lose it out there, you're still, from a shape point of view, and if you've hard working, maybe Gavin White is one wing, and Stephen O'Brien, who's good to work as well, you're still good shape. You know, maybe you concede a point, but you're not conceding goals. And I think if you're going short too often in that press, you're going to concede goals.
I think there's possibility that they'll maybe get one. You know, the handy ones might get one in each half. But they've got 28 or 9 more to contest with. But I like the Galway one. I like the Galway one that Galway did against Kerry. Just cluster of players.
Yeah.
But if you notice that at the top of it, so on the defensive side, is two Galway players and two more Galway players here. So, as you say, Declan, the worst case scenario, the ball breaks down, Dublin get the ball. They have a cluster of players to get through. You make it a bit of a dogfight, a bit of a war in that sort of area. Worst case scenario, you give away a free kick, you slow them down, you get a body or two back. And, you know, for me, you know, when I watched Galway, that was the reason why Galway beat Kerry 2 years ago in Croke Park, because they were able to not only get possession, but limit Kerry whenever that they came to the ground with it. I mean, Kerry won a lot of those,
yeah,
but they got very little off them. You know?
Absolutely, and I know we're maybe labouring the point now, but like I just think if you're saying that, look, that we'll have six backs in six positions and we kick out the ball, I think that's a kind of a mentality that, you know what, we're not gonna give the game away, you know, in that we have our shape. And if we, but I think for Kerry to win this game, and it was a point Fitzmaurice made a couple of weeks ago here, like Dublin aren't going to lose this game, like. Kerry have to go and win it, and I just think if we're not at least trying to get at least 60-70% of our own kickouts, of course we're going to try in terms of winning breaks and all that, but if we're not going to guarantee ourselves that kind of possession, we're giving them an extra maybe 8 possessions from our own kickouts, you know, by piking it out the middle. I just think you're putting yourself under savage pressure.
No, you're not piking it out the middle, but you're going long into certain zones where you have practiced to get bodies around there, get the right people in those areas, and then aside from that, then you're giving yourself another option maybe on the other side where you think, okay, maybe everybody thinks it's going this way, but we have a mismatch on the other side where we're looking for it. But you're going long. I think it's not giving the ball away, but you're going to have to go long, because you could lose a game by going too short, I think.
Of course.
The other option is not a good option. It's like playing golf. It's you can lose it on a Thursday, you can't win it on a Thursday. And
yeah.
I think
yeah.
that's the way Kerry have to look at it, especially early on. I agree with you 100% that they have to go after the game. There's certain areas they're going to have to, certain chances they're going to have to take.
100%.
But that kick thing, you know, trying to put it into pockets around the 45, give you nightmares.
You have to be there to try win the game at the end. And yeah. that's it. Like, Dublin are a fantastic team. Real, you know, hot favourites or whatever, but they're not robots either. So you have to try build the pressure and build the pressure and build the pressure, and then be there in a position where you can, if the opportunity presents itself, or you have to make the opportunities present themselves at the end to go and win the game. But mm-hmm. as Oisin said, you know, you'd want to be throwing the game out of the fire.
And like
the first 10
it is, and Kerry are probably going to do the same thing against Cluxton. You'd imagine Dublin are going to play that zone where they have their 12 bodies and they're covering those pockets of space. And any team playing against the zone, the thing is about, like you mentioned about Galway, which is basically overloading one side of the zone. And and if you're outnumbering, if Dublin have 3 or 4 bodies in that section and Kerry can get 5 or whatever, you're outnumbering them in that area, and that's the area you're trying to put the ball. But it's going to be, I think, what Kerry do to Cluxton. And I know he gets it away really quick and they have a better setup, but it's going to be really interesting to see what Kerry try to do to try and slow down that Dublin kick out and at least force Cluxton to put a couple up for grabs.
Yeah, you know, the experience that Clucko brings, whatever, 105 you know, caps, they're going to have to put a squeeze on him. I think, you know, by pushing so many bodies forward, be it, you know, an extra 2 wing backs that clog up a bit of space out there, I think that's the only, that would be the logical way to look at it. Mm. And then you can win any breaking ball, and then you're on the front foot from there. They have the scoring threats inside, but you need to win primary possession out the middle third of the field. And by putting Clucko under pressure, by making them force a kick it long, well then, you know, you're putting the ball up for grabs, and that's where the Kerry lads might make hay if they do dominate and win primary possession there. I think it's, you know, it has worked in the past.
And it goes back to your point, Mike, that's where Kerry go try win the game. Mm-hmm. That's where they're trying to force the issue a bit, and by pushing up. But that's going back to our original point about the backs, that's where the backs then have to stand up and say, I'm here, marking my men oceans of space because everybody's pushed up, and that's where you need the real good disciplined individual defending just to bail you out if Cluxon goes long and is successful, and then you know you've Dubs running into space and there's overlaps happening. That's the danger there, obviously.
And traditionally, Kerry have always done well on Cluxon, or relatively well compared with other teams. And it's just going to be another one that you're going to see that part of the game, like these set plays where you're going to have about 40 kickouts from both teams. And it, this is where I think the likes of Donny Buckley or J.O. are going to come to the fore. And guys with a little bit of, you know, basketball kind of head in their shoulders. When you see a zone and the different things that they're going to try to do to exploit it, I think it'll be a nice little, you know, aside from everything else that's going on. Oisín, you weren't here the last day about when Eamon Fitzmaurice lit a fire, and we're not going to spend long talking about him now because I don't think it's an issue that's really going to have a huge impact on the game. But you had a thing about Goff.
No, the only thing I had about Goff was I was wondering exactly why Kerry had such a problem with him. That was the first thing, and why there was an orchestrated
Jesus Christ.
I have to say I'm managing the team in Meath, and I've seen Goff, and he genuinely is a really good referee. I watched him refereeing at the weekend as well, and he will be fit for this weekend because he took it really easy. He didn't cover a lot of ground the weekend, but he was exceptional in the way that he refereed the game. He's as close, lads, as we got to the way McEnany used to referee games. He lets it go, you know, when it's down to let go. But I know exactly the reason why Kerry people have a problem with him, and that is the shoulder and the chest from... I don't have any idea what year it was, but I remember a free kick that he didn't give and
Peter Crowley, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't want to back up the field. But I suppose the reason why, you know, I wanted to mention Goff is that I actually think that he will suit Kerry in a roundabout sort of way. And I think what you have done, putting a bit of pressure on him. Will definitely work in your favour. He's a human being. He'll know that he's under serious scrutiny because of it.
But he's not under any scrutiny. He's under scrutiny. Of course, everybody's under scrutiny because they're playing an Ireland final.
Yeah.
But like the guy, I think the guy allows a bit more physicality, which I think is going to make for a game. And nothing. I'm not talking about the dirty stuff. Or I'm talking about a game with hard hits and real robust stuff that. Like when you have two footballing teams here, like Kerry and Dublin, you don't want somebody that's going to be picking for every kind of small thing. I don't think Kerry want that, or Dublin certainly don't want that. And I think that physicality and the way he'll kind of let that go, I think should add to, you know, what we're hoping is going to be a pretty good spectacle.
Yeah, look, I agree with Oisín. I think David Goff is a really good referee. And look, it was blown out of proportion, obviously, the last day what was being said, but. He just has a real good feel for the game, and as you say, I think he has that. You know, football has gone a bit where, you know, players are looking for frees, or sometimes they can be trying to orchestrate a free, and he seems to be on top of that type of stuff. And as you say, Mike, he leaves a bit of physicality go, he leaves a bit of what you want to see in an All-Ireland final day. You want to see that bit of passion coming out, you want to see that bit of intensity there. So I think he's a good feel for the game. I wouldn't have any concerns, really.
I'm with you guys. Like, just because he's working in Dublin, I don't think that's going to, you know, harbour any of his decisions come Sunday. As you said, he's going to be on the spotlight. The Sunday game will obviously go through every decision that he makes with a fine-tooth comb, and he's going to do it to the best of his ability. If he's making wrong calls, you know, just because he's where he works and where he's living, I think it's wrong. I think he's probably the best referee in the country at the moment. And, you know,
it's a huge day for him as well. I mean, his family are involved with him as well in the whole day as well. So he's going to be there and try and do his best.
He'll get decisions wrong as well.
Of course.
He's human. But, you know, I think, you know, the little bit of pressure he's been put on, you know, maybe he might. There might be an erring towards a handy L free here or there for him because of that.
Well, if the alternative is Morris Deegan, we could be sitting there watching 70 free kicks in a match. Like, and nobody wants that. Like, you know what I mean? So, I mean, that's why I think, you know, the more we get the likes of Goff.
Big time, it doesn't have to be
Goff all in, but we get the likes of Goff, and the way he referees the game, the better our games are going to be and the more attractive they're going to be to watch. I mean, nobody wants to watch what's going on against Kerry and Tyrone. Nobody wants to watch that.
Absolutely. Like, the 80,000, 82,000 spectators are going to go in on Sunday. You know, they want to see a bit of good, hard hitting Oisin. Like, that's the bottom line. You know, it's a physical contact sport. Yeah, fellas want to, you know, see a few big hits going in, and that's what I'm expecting on Sunday. The Kerry lads are going to come out of traps good and early. They're going to try and rough up Dublin like they did in the National League game. That's what we all want to see, and let the best team win after that. Freeze being blown every couple of minutes is not what anybody wants to see. I'd be certainly in David Goff's corner. I think he's the best man equipped to do the job, and let him go out and do his job on Sunday.
No, the only thing with that Oisin that like blew up the whole thing, like, they're probably on Twitter right now. it's just funny how it exploded. I was talking to Fitzy. I played golf with Fitzy last Friday, like, and he was just kind of, you know, he couldn't believe the thing how it exploded as well. But like Goff, like, and I think the key point that was probably missed with the whole thing is, Goff isn't going to determine the winners of the game. Like, like, the guys that are going to determine who wins the game will be running out of under the Hogan stand. They're the players and the management on both sides. And like, no matter how many times, like, that shoulder often gets brought up, Oisin, about that collision with Peter Crowley and the free in. And of course that would have had an impact there. But like, how many mistakes do players make over the course of an 80-minute game? And like, one hand pass that's a turnover could have led to a score the same as that free being called to give a free. Yeah. And so, like, I just in these things, like, it's better to just, like, not even know who the referee is, get on with it, and just play the game. And like, thankfully, that should be, you know, besides you trying to reignite a fire there.
Well, funny when you mention golf, there's no better place to orchestrate a campaign than on the golf course. On a four ball.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. We were saying outside, there's the 2009 Ireland winning team. Kerry there's an event on the Saturday in Croke Park, a GPA thing, and Darren O'Sullivan, who was the captain that year, that Kerry team is I think it's 99, 2009, is it all the...
Every 10 years, yeah.
And Darren O'Sullivan actually last week just set up a WhatsApp group for all the players that were on that panel. It is the quietest WhatsApp group I have ever seen. There is nobody. Two people left the group and nothing else has been said in the entire group. It's just every fella's afraid, I'd say, that someone will take a snap of it and move on.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I just want to thank Oisin and Declan and Ray for making the journey down, and thank you for listening. That's and awesome. We'll talk to you soon.
With Renault, passion for what drives you. Official car partner of the GAA.